it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
He's QB1.
And at quarterback from Texas Tech, number 15, Patrick Mahomes.
He's a three-time Super Bowl champion.
Mahomes moving to his left laterally, chased, holding it, and gets out of bounds and up the sideline. He's not out of bounds yet. He's at the 10, inside the 10. He dives for the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. A remarkable acrobatic scramble on a 27-yard run. Maybe the best play yet.
Two-time MVP and three-time Super Bowl MVP.
Patrick Mahomes with Mahomes magic. Starting left, peeling right, three drives. Three touchdowns for the Chiefs.
And you can hear him right here every week with CDOT. Exclusively on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan. Here's Patrick Mahomes.
Every Wednesday at 3:15, we are joined by the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. And his appearance on the show is brought to you by Telly Tire and Auto Centers. Winning starts with a great drive. Since 1942, Telly Certified Techs have delivered complete car care with top brand tires and expert auto service. Keep your drive going. Take it to Telly. Visit TellyTire.com today. Earlier today, I got a chance to catch up with the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. Our conversation started with he has won AFC Player of the Week in two of the last 3 weeks. Last time he told us, he found out on social media. I wanted to know if I was the first person to tell him that he won the award.
Yeah, for sure. I just came from a walkthrough, so you are the first person to inform me that. That's awesome.
Look at that. We've had a lot of firsts in our lives. I never thought I'd be the first to tell you that you won an award that obviously you care so much about.
No, it still is. It's an honor, man. I mean, there's a lot of great football players in this league, and I appreciate you keeping me updated on everything happening in the NFL.
There's a lot to talk about. Let's just go ahead and get this out of the way. There was a kerfluffle at the end of Sunday Night Football. You were in the middle of it, so to speak. Just tell us your view, your vantage point. What happened at the end of Sunday Night Football?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, kind of a scuffle broke out, and I was just trying to get it all separated. So it happens. It's football. It's competitive, and everybody wants to win. But now we kind of move on and keep it rolling. That's kind of the part of the game that we kind of have to deal with sometimes.
Have you ever been a part of something like that at the end of the game? It kind of felt like the end of a college football game. You know, we've kind of seen that in those rivalry games. Obviously not the case with this one. Have you been a part of anything like that at the end of a football game?
No scuffles or anything like that. I mean, obviously, it's an emotional game, and everybody is competing to win, and sometimes the emotion gets the best of us, but no scuffles for me, no.
Right now, we're talking to the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. A couple of things that I want you to be aware of. You are the fastest player in NFL history to throw for 300 touchdown passes in their career. I feel like you've done so many of these things over your career. Is that something that people notify you of? Is that even something that you think about while the season is ongoing?
No, I mean, other than like just noticing on like social media and stuff after the game. You don't focus on that stuff during the seasons, especially. I mean, obviously when I look back at the season and review after the season or at the end of my career, I'm sure I'll really appreciate those things. And I know how hard it is and all the great guys that have come before me, but you're so focused on just trying to find ways to get wins in this league that you can't focus on those other things.
You are currently leading the MVP votes. I know it's very early on in the season, so I mean, no real reason to dive deep into it, but I think that's really an indication of how you've played so far in the first six games of the season and how this offense has really progressed over the last three, 4 weeks as well.
Yeah, we've gotten better. I mean, we're getting better and better each and every week, and that's all you can ask for is to continue to show improvements and learn from your mistakes in previous weeks. But it's still a long season ahead, and we're not where we want to be at, so we got to find ways to continue to get better and better as the season goes on. to try to put ourselves in position to get to the playoffs and try to win the division.
It finally feels like we're here. You and I have talked about it. I'm sure you've been asked about it a million times. Rashee Rice is finally coming back to this offense. Let's just start with this. What does it mean to have a player like of his caliber and adding him to the offense?
Yeah, I mean, it's a couple things. I mean, obviously the player, I mean, he's an extremely talented player. He can do a lot of things, catching the football, running routes, being explosive and making plays happen all over the football field, from the line of scrimmage all the way to 50, 60 yards down the field, and those are special type of players. And so the player is one thing, but I think more than that is just the mentality and the energy that he brings. I mean, those receivers, man, they're like best friends. And so to finally get the full group together, it's going to be fun to watch because they've been building for it and they've worked through some adversity to get there with injuries and things like that. But so now let's get these guys out there and let them have fun and go out and play the game they love.
You mentioned having the full group. I mean, you haven't had them at any point. You haven't had Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, and Hollywood Brown all on the field at the same time. You then add Juju Smith-Schuster into that mix. You add Tyquan Thornton into the mix. You got a very full wide receiver room at this point with a lot of explosiveness.
100%. I mean, obviously, we've dealt with injuries before, but I think that's made other guys better. They've had to accept the challenges, and you've seen guys like Tyquan and Hollywood and Juju and really everybody step up in their roles and take on bigger roles. And then now we're adding the guys back with Xavier and now Rashee. It's just going to make the whole room better. And they've all been pushing each other to be even better. And like I said, they're best friends, man. It's like one of the best rooms I think I've ever seen and been a part of, just how much they root for each other and want each other to succeed.
How do you make sure everybody eats right now in the offense when you got so many mouths to feed? You have done a great job in your career kind of spreading the ball around. This is as many options as you've had kind of at one time. How do you kind of make sure that everybody gets their chances to eat in the offense right now?
I think it's a mixture of kind of two things. First off, I think with Coach Reed and Coach Nagy, they do a great job of the guys know the plays and know who's kind of the plays are called for, and everybody gets their turn to having to be in the main option on the play call. And obviously, that doesn't always mean you get the ball, but I think you know that if the coaches are trying to get you the ball, that kind of helps out. And then they know with me, it doesn't matter who it is. If they're open, I'm going to throw you the football. That's just kind of how I've always rolled. I don't know if it's playing in the Big 12, playing in the air raid. That's kind of the mentality I've always had. And so they know if they get in that game and they get open, I'm going to throw them the football. And so they come in with the mentality to get open and do their job every single play.
Let's kind of go back a little bit to Sunday Night Football. Let's just start with this. What was it like to control the game and play as well as you guys played against one of the better teams in the league? I think the Lions are the best team in the NFC, and you guys handled them on Sunday Night Football.
Yeah.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, that's a great team to go up against. I know that it was going to be a competitive game going into the game, and we had to play our best football, and it was good to see. I mean, that if we play our best football, we can compete against anybody, and I was proud of how everybody responded. I mean, there was highs and lows, but no one held their head down. They just battled through adversity, and we were able to get kind of advantage of that game going into the second half, and we kept that momentum going throughout the rest of the game.
I saw that this season you guys are 10 of 12 on fourth down conversion so far. I also feel like you guys have been a little bit more aggressive than you usually have been on fourth downs. I guess what kind of starts that? What has made you guys more aggressive on fourth downs this season?
I think it's a mixture of things. I think it's just the plan that we have going into the game. I mean, I think you've seen some of the plays that we've kind of called even on third downs to be more aggressive and take maybe a shot here or there on third down, knowing we might go on fourth down or run the ball or whatever that is. It's like we have a mindset and a plan going into each and every game. And I think it's just being on the same pages with the coaches and them trusting me even more. I mean, the fact that I've been in the offense for so long now and they trust that I'm going to make the right decisions in the right time, it's helped us be a little bit more aggressive. And then knowing our defense is going to get stops when we don't get it, I think that's also an important part of it.
One thing I've really tried to stress this week on the show is I don't think people are giving enough credit to what Jalen Moore just did on Sunday Night Football. I imagine he hasn't been getting a lot of reps with the ones, hasn't been playing for this team, had a baby earlier on Sunday. For him to play and play as well as he did, I was really happy to see the Coach Reed kind of pointed that out and gave him the game ball. Let's just talk a little bit more about Jalen Moore, kind of this experience for him and how well he stepped in for you guys on Sunday.
Yeah, I think it just showcased how he's been the entire time he's been in here. I mean, he's a guy, true professional, someone that works his tail off every single day. No matter what you ask him to do, we've asked him to play left tackle, right tackle, guards, both positions, and it's every day he comes out and tries to be the best that he can be, and you need those guys on your team. And I mean, obviously, he wants to play every single week. He hasn't had the opportunity to, but he knew when his opportunity was going to come, he was going to be ready, and he showcased that against one of the best premier pass rushers in this league, and I was very proud of him and how he went out there and competed.
Fast forwarding to Sunday here for just a bit. A lot of times I cannot relate to your job, but this might be the one time I can do it. You got a real 9-to-5 coming up this week. You never get off work this early.
Yeah, I know, but it's still going to be a challenge. I mean, going up against the Raiders, man, it's always tough. And so we have to come with the right mindset. You know, we haven't played one of these early games yet, and so we got to wake up, be ready to go, knowing that it's going to take our best effort in order to find a way to win at Arrowhead.
Going back to your rookie year, who was that guy that kind of came in to explain the rivalry to it? You know, we see this in colleges all the time, you know, where you got a former player come by and then speak to the kids to help them understand the importance of the rivalry. Who was that player that came back to you guys to explain how important Chiefs and rivalry is to this community and to this fan base?
I mean, there was a lot of guys. I mean, I came in with a lot of vets on this team that had been around for a long time, with Derek Johnson and Justin Houston. I mean, Alex Smith. I mean, I came in with a lot of guys that have been a part of this rivalry, and you can feel it in the building within the week. I mean, no matter if you're doing good in the season, they're doing good in the season, both doing bad, whatever it is, those guys are ready to go, and it's always a tough competitive football game. And so it's the closest thing, I think, into a true rivalry in the NFL sport is the Raiders and the Chiefs. And I'm glad to be a part of it, man. It's a fun time every single time we get to go up against these guys.
What is it like to be around long enough where now you have your stories? I hate calling you the old guy, but you're starting to become one of the older guys on the team. You know, you got Christmas Day. You got the whole story about them riding the bus around the stadium. You guys have obviously had a lot of success against the Raiders as well. Now you got your own Raiders stories to tell the younger players.
Yeah, no, I mean, you share that information, man, because you got to build up for the rivalry. You got to match the intensity of the team on the other side. And so it'll be a great game. I'm super excited for it, going up against a good football team with a lot of great football players, and they'll be ready to go.
I got to ask you two questions before we get out of here, two fun questions that we've been talking about on the show. The first one is, there is a word that nobody can spell. Like, there's a word that gives you trouble. That word for me is convenience. I try to get as close as I can, and then I let spell check take over. What is that word for you that just you can't spell that you need spell check to spell for you?
Yeah, no, for me, I don't know why, and I use this word a lot, but it's itinerary. I can't spell it, and I get that every single week from the Chiefs, and I try to type it up and send it to Brittany, and I can't get close enough for spell check, so I don't know why that word is so tough for me.
See, that's one of those words, like, whenever you say itinerary, you just got to go schedule then at that point because they mean the exact same thing.
Oh, that's my go-to. I got to switch it to schedule because they know what I'm trying to get to.
And last one here. Who is your favorite fictional football player? I'll tell you mine. It is Tim Riggins from the TV show Friday Night Lights. I also like Joe Kane from The Program. I don't know if you've seen The Program or not, but I like Joe Kane too.
I have. I'd probably say Sunshine from Remember the Titans, Ronnie Bass. I mean, just the way he played, he was scrambling, throwing the football around, was competitive. So probably him. Or Julius from that. I love that movie. So, or Julius from that movie, man. I remember the Titans when I grew up. I watched that a ton.
That is Patrick Mahomes, the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, joining us on the show. They're playing at noon this week against the Las Vegas Raiders in a AFC West matchup. Patrick, always great catching up with you, man. Look forward to catching up with you next week ahead of Monday Night Football.
I appreciate you, man.
Absolutely. That is our conversation with the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. His appearance every Wednesday on The Drive is brought to you by Telly Tire and Auto Centers. Winning starts with a great drive. Since 1942, Telly certified techs have delivered complete car care with top brand tires and expert auto service. Keep your drive going. Take it to Telly. Visit TellyTire.com today.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.